we walk with Him. I came across some interesting information about the brilliant artist and sculptor and inventor Leonardo da Vinci, a Renaissance man, if there ever was one. He was interested in a wide variety of things. He had an intense curiosity about birds, how they flew. He studied their wings and sketched what we might call today helicopters, parachutes, and flying contraptions based on their anatomy. The freedom and movement of birds served as a metaphor for Da Vinci's life. And Italians remember one of his quotes. According to them, Da Vinci said, "To live without freedom is to be only half alive." To live without freedom is to be only half alive. What others recalled about him included how, when he saw merchants selling caged birds, the great genius himself would purchase the little creatures, walk several blocks away, open the cages, and let them all go free. I do hope that you will enjoy this coming holiday, Independence Day, the 4th of July. It's also appropriate to remember the passion for freedom displayed 242 years ago by American men and women who devoted their lives to creating this nation. And even more, believers have been made free by the Son of God who gave Himself to suffer and die, that we would be liberated from all hopelessness and all hell and made free, in fact, to love the living God and love others as we love ourselves. And be walking, talking temples of the Holy Spirit and inheritors of heaven, life everlasting. Jesus called out one day as He preached, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Well, what is it that causes us to feel weary or worn out, burdened or weighed down? Some of it, no surprise, comes because we work too hard. Time magazine reminded us back in the 1960s, back in the 60s, expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. These experts predicted that advances in technology would radically change how many hours people work per week. And they forecast that by 1993, the average American would be working 22 hours a week. The great challenge, those pundits said, will be figuring out what to do with all the excess time. Now, I know that excess time to fill is not a reality for many people in this room this morning. Barbara Brown Taylor is a popular author among pastors and preachers and others, I'm sure. She notes that in China, the polite answer to the question, "How are you?" is to say, "I am very busy, thank you." I believe that's how many all across the globe. You know, I asked the couple who own and operate the Chinese buffet in Sykeston, I asked them that a couple of years ago, "Is that true?" And they said, "Yes." They said, "You hear that a lot in China." But they said, "Really, the main greeting there is, 'Are you hungry? Can I cook for you?'" Where was I? I believe that's how many across the globe measure their lives. How busy can they be? How busy can we be? But how much, how long can we scurry and hurry and hustle and bustle before we wear out or get sick? Do we work too hard? Of course, that's a question that each one of us individually will have to answer for ourselves. Or even more, are we too tired because we worry too much? You know, to a great extent, fatigue is mental, psychological. The body feels tired not always because we've been too physically active, although lots of physical activity can certainly wear us out, but also because our thinking, our conscious thoughts and imaginations, emotions, have been in overdrive dealing with fear, stress, pressure, and anxiety. Now, most of us don't have jobs that wear us out physically, although some of you in this family of faith here in this room work very hard with your arms and eyes and hands and backs and legs. You do work very hard. Still, worry, mental and emotional stress can be unhealthy. A national research group reported last year that 80% of Americans are living at a stress level that could contribute to headaches, muscle pain, stomach upsets, and high blood pressure. Let's raise our hands if that's any of you. No, don't do that. The late, great Scottish New Testament teacher William Barclay used to say that the burdens of today, this day, probably could be managed and accepted. However, when people add the worries of tomorrow upon the commitments of today, that's when the stress more than doubles. 90-year-old Tommy Lasorda, the longtime manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, was known for rallying his players out of just about any down or negative attitude. He was a manager in the minor leagues in 1971 when his team lost 8 straight games. Well, at about that time, sports writers across the country had voted to select the greatest major league team in the history of baseball. And by a vast majority, they chose the 1927 New York Yankees. Down, frustrated, and exhausted by their 8th consecutive loss, Lasorda's team headed into the locker room. A few minutes later, he walked in and yelled, "Hey, all of you, get your heads up. I don't want to see any of you with heads down again. You're going to start winning. I'm sure of it." You probably know the 1927 Yankees were voted the greatest team to ever play Major League Ball, and they lost 8 games straight. Suddenly, heads went up and expressions changed, and it was the turning point for that squad. The team started winning, and by the end of the season, they were champions. Well, hearing his story a few days later, Mrs. Lasorda asked Tommy, "Honey, are you sure the Yankees lost 8 games in a row?" Tom answered, "How would I know? I was only a year old." But it made the point. Well, it did jar some good things loose in those players' hearts and minds and attitudes. They were inspired to believe that success was still possible. 8 straight losses did not condemn them to keep losing. And you know, there is something always energizing about hope, something encouraging about thinking and believing that the best is yet to be. It's a good reminder for each of us and all of us together to remember the Christian faith is realistic, yes, but it's an extremely positive approach to life. And that's why the ancient believers called it the gospel, an older English word that means good news. Good news. All who set their faith in Christ and keep their faith in Him have God indwelling and helping them now and leading them toward a glorious life for all eternity. And also, I think we do well to consider, do we get enough sleep? A few weeks ago, an expert in brain health spoke to the retired teachers group that meets here in Fellowship Hall. And among other things, he emphasized that enough sleep adequate, regular sleep help the brain so much, help the brain to re-nourish, rest, do its processing, and recharge. This is from Psalm 4, verse 8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. The great evangelist to Asia, D.T. Niles, tells about traveling by train across India, and it was a long trip. He needed to get some rest. However, he was so concerned about his suitcase getting stolen that he had a hard time even falling asleep. He put it on the rack directly above where he sat. He kept dozing and waking up, trying to keep an eye on that luggage. Well, finally, he was so tired, he ended up sleeping longer than he'd wanted. And when he looked up, his suitcase was gone. It was interesting, though, said the evangelist. I wasn't really bothered by it so much because then I could sleep with no suitcase to keep me awake. I wonder what the suitcases, so to speak, are that sometimes keep us awake. I was reading in a pastor's journal that I subscribe to. It stated that next to alcohol and drugs, sleep deprivation is the leading cause of accident and injury on American roadways. Next to alcohol and drugs, it's sleep deprivation, which is the cause of more accidents. Now, it's notorious, too, for causing poor productivity in our shops, offices, and factories. Please don't use this sermon for an excuse for sleeping in on Sunday mornings. Catch your nap a little later in the afternoon, if you would. The Associated Press reported the details of a car accident, and the police report stated that around 3 a.m., a dark blue Ford sedan, traveling in excess of 100 miles per hour, driven by an intoxicated 21-year-old young lady, was airborne for about 70 feet before crashing through the roof of a home in Derry, New Hampshire. It came through the ceiling and dropped right at the foot of the bed of the couple who owned that home. The thing was 7 feet in front of my face, said the husband. I could feel the heat from the exhaust system. Still, that was not enough to wake up his wife. Ruth isn't here today, so it might go for her. He had to jostle her practically by shouting and rouse her up when the police got there. And you know, we idolize Thomas Edison, who claimed that he could function pretty well on a few 10 or 15 minute naps throughout the day. But we might forget that Albert Einstein averaged 11 hours of sleep every night. Came across the story that for the first time, a certain family was visiting in New York City. They were dazzled by all the sights and sounds of the bustling crowds of Manhattan. This is the city that never sleeps, the father told his 11-year-old daughter. And she answered, that's probably because there's a Starbucks on every corner. We come again to our Savior's words in Matthew. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Norman Vincent Peale once described it this way. He said that he was sailing to the Middle East in the summer of 1962. He often stopped to chat with the ship's first officer. My dad, United States World War II Navy vet, said that if you ever really wanted to know something, you bribe some of your cohorts to ask the first officer, not the captain. Were there any captains in the crowd today? Good. Ask the first officer. He said, he was visiting with him, and he told him, said Dr. Peel, that a large vessel, as the one they were on, rides out a storm by keeping basically on course, yet not overstressing the engines. Just at the pinnacle of every large wave, they pull back on the throttle and calm the engines, relaxing the powertrain, he explained. And even in a large ship, it was very tiny in comparison to the waves and the vast ocean, of course, but that was the way to make their engines adapt themselves to a storm and daunting waves. They tried to establish a rhythm. Engine up the wave, engine down the wave. Engine up, engine down. And he said, in that way, adjusting to the rhythm of the waves, the sea itself helped move them along. Now, said Dr. Peel, this wonderful method can be applied to people as well as ships. Get yourself in time with your difficulties. Get in harmony with the Lord and ride out your challenges according to the heartbeat of God. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thanks be to God. Amen.